America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. We are having a few technical problems, I think because of the weather, but appreciate your patience and we're going to get started. Pastor Jeff here. Hope you're having a good morning, even though it is very, very stormy here in Texarkana, Texas and in other parts of the country. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it regardless. Well, I want to talk to you today about something very, very important, and that has to do with forgetting the Lord your God. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, very important passage of scripture, he said, "Beware," verse 11, "that you do not forget the Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you. So you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God." You and I need to beware of forgetting the Lord. I have said on numerous occasions that Christianity, your Christianity, my Christianity, and Christianity in general, we do a lot better in adversity, and we don't do so well spiritually in prosperity. And that's exactly what Moses is talking about here. When everything is going great and everything's coming up roses, then we have such a strong tendency to forget the Lord our God. We put him on the back burner. We don't really need him. You think about when your life is falling apart, when the report comes from the doctor that says you have cancer, when something terrible comes into your family, what is the first thing you think to do? You cry out, "Oh God, help me." And God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And God uses trouble to get our attention. And when you don't have any trouble, that's when you can forget the Lord your God. When I was in college, my Bible study teacher was David Ferguson. And he preached, taught a lesson one day. He called it "Beware of Losing Your First Love." And he referenced Deuteronomy chapter 8, those verses that we read. And then he connected it to Ephesians chapter or Revelation chapter 2, where the Lord gives the seven letters to the seven churches. And the first letter is to the church in Ephesus. And the Lord has good things to say about the church in Ephesus. They were a strong church. You know, that's where Paul spent quite a bit of time, and Timothy was the pastor there in Ephesus, and it was a good, solid church. And so as we read in Revelation 2, we find out, hey, this church seems to have it going on. The Lord says, I know your deeds, your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. That's a good thing. You put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. You're not letting false doctrine come into the church, and you have perseverance, and you have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Those are all positive things. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Beware of leaving your first love, of losing your first love, of forgetting the Lord your God. And so David gave us, I still remember this as a college student, he gave us 10 things. I wrote them down. I put them in my Bible, on the personal study notes in my Bible. And this is from the early 1980s when I was in college. And this is so appropriate for today. Speaks to my heart's convicting these list of 10 things. How do you know if you have left your first love? You know, the greatest commandment, Jesus, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And then the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. But the greatest commandment is to love God. That's what God wants from you and from me, to love him. And to love him not just a little bit or not just a lot, but love him with everything that we have and everything that we are, all our heart, all our strength, all our soul, all our mind. Now, it can be said, and you could make the case, that if that's the greatest commandment, then the greatest sin would be to not love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So what the Lord said to Ephesus, he could be saying to us, I have this against you. You're doing a lot of good things, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. So I want to go through a checklist, 10 warnings, 10 little tests here to see if you might be forgetting the Lord your God, if you might be losing your first love, if you don't love him like you used to. You know, if there was ever a time in your life when you loved Jesus more than you do now, guess what? You have drifted away. You have left your first love. As that Robert Robinson song says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So the first question, first little test. How do you know if you are losing your first love, if you've left your first love, if you're forgetting the Lord? When I delight more in someone else than I do God.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Hopefully we're through with all the technical challenges we had in the first segment. So I'm back to using the microphone, not talking on my phone, and things seem to be back to normal. So I praise the Lord for that. Well, we're talking about the danger of losing and leaving your first love, of forgetting the Lord your God, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. Listen, the trouble with the Christian life that I have found, I've been a Christian, I'm 60, getting ready to be 64 years old. I got saved when I was 17. So if you do the math, a lot of decades in there. And the Christian life is a marathon. And so it's an endurance race. Hebrews chapter 12, we run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's not a sprint. And that's what makes the Christian life hard. Because, you know, when you get saved, you're excited about the Lord. And it's wonderful. But that excitement can't carry you for an endurance race. You know, you can sprint 100 meters and go all out, and man, you can do it. Now, you may not be Usain Bolt, but that's okay, because you can do stuff for short little bursts. But you know, the Christian life is not a 100 meter dash. It's not even a marathon. It's an ultra marathon. It's day after day, month after month, week after week, year after year. It just keeps going, and it's easy to have these ebbs and flows in your life. Now, this is taking a little detour, but I ran across a clip from Todd Friel, Wretched Radio, and he was talking about this influencer, this soccer player guy from some part of the world. He's not an American, and he supposedly got saved. And he's so excited about the Lord, and that is wonderful, but that excitement, that euphoria, cannot carry him for a lifetime. This is what Todd had to say about this man, Joe Weller, who professed on his social media that he had put his faith and trust in Jesus.
If you know Joe Weller, I got a message for him. You don't know who Joe Weller is. He's a famous internet person. He's a soccer player. He's a singer. He's from England or Australia, New Zealand, pretty much the same thing. And he's making a public profession of faith. And I've got a message for him.
Hiya. Now, today, I just want to say that I have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the best thing that has ever happened to me. Never did I think I'd be saying those words, coming on here, declaring that. I thought it was all something else. I thought it was a load of nonsense. But when it makes sense, it really does make sense. I have tried everything to try and feel genuinely fulfilled and at peace. Spirituality, diet, travel, here, there, everywhere, work, fame, money. I have tried everything that seems like it could work for me. And he never, ever gave up.
What do we do with these celebrity confessions? Hey, we're hopeful. We want to encourage. We don't want to be total Debbie Downers. However, time will reveal the status of his soul. Let's be praying that he got genuinely born again. So
yeah, Todd goes on to say he needs to get involved in a local church. And I would totally agree with that. But here's the point I was trying to make. You know, you get excited when you come to the Lord. You know, I think of blind Bartimaeus. He was rejoicing. He got saved. He got his eyesight back. He was following Jesus on the road. He was rejoicing. I mean, what a great, great day in his life. But that euphoria that's natural, that's good, that's from the Lord, that can't sustain you for a lifetime. So beware of losing your first love, of forgetting God and walking and drifting from Him. We don't just you know, violently depart from the Lord and angrily depart from the Lord, most of the time, as the song says, it's a slow fade. We just kind of drift away. I was reading in Proverbs about, I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely broken down. Its surface was covered in nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. And it's just weeds. It's a weed-infested vineyard. He said, I looked and received instruction. I reflected upon it. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And then your poverty will come in like a robber and your need like an armed man. What did Solomon learn that day when he saw that broken down, weed-infested vineyard? It didn't get that way all at once. It got that way little by little by little by little. How do we drift from our first love? We don't do it in massive increments. We do it little by little by little by little. So the test, how do you know if you have left your first love? When you delight in someone else rather than God. Number two, when your soul does not long for fellowship with God and Him alone. Number three, when my thoughts during leisure moments are not on God. I think about that a lot. When I was in college and I was growing so much in my faith, I don't become a Christian when I was a senior in high school. And, you know, as I would walk, I was on the campus of the University of Texas in Austin. And you walk a lot when you are a college student at UT because everything is so far apart. I lived in an apartment complex and it was about maybe a mile to walk to get to campus. And, so I would walk and I would pray and I would think on the Lord and I would meditate on scripture and I would memorize a lot. And my thoughts during those leisure moments were always on the Lord. You think to yourself, okay, well, that was early in my Christian life. What is it like now? Am I really thinking on Him or do I think on other things? You know, I love to play golf. Not that good at golf. But I did have an answer to prayer as it relates to golf. Here was my prayer, because I have the golf bug, but I don't have the golf gene. And I said, Lord, I was just getting so frustrated because I'm just so inconsistent at golf. And I said, Lord, take away the desire or take away the stink, because I would play and just stink out there. And so the Lord has been faithful to answer that prayer. I'm not as bad as I was. I'm starting to hit the ball more consistently. And so for all you guys out there who like to play golf and ladies who like to play golf and you're frustrated because it's a hard game and you don't seem like you're getting any better, that's a good prayer to pray. Lord, take away the desire, take away the stink. But I can think about golf. I can watch golf videos, doom scroll on social media, go one golf video after the next. And so I need to catch myself and say, hey, you know, when I have those leisure moments, I need to spend those thinking about the Lord, praying for America, praying for my family, memorizing scripture, thinking through issues, helping myself grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and not just wasting time with things that don't really matter. So I have to be disciplined. Discipline yourself, Paul said to Timothy, for the purpose of godliness. Number four, when I view the commands of God as restrictions on my life. I think a lot of younger people that aren't married, people that maybe dating and they, you know, they have this desire to see how far they can go physically, and they can start to view the commands of God as restrictions on their life. Hey, when you do that and you start to question, well, God, I don't know why you say this. Why can't I do that? Why do you put a barricade on this that I want to do? You've lost your first love, because the Lord gives commands not to restrict us. He gives commands to protect us because He loves us and He doesn't want us to hurt ourselves. And so let the marriage bed be undefiled, Hebrews chapter 13 says, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Keep yourself from the edge. Don't see how close you can come, because the edge is a slippery slope. And if you walk really close to the edge, guess what? You're going to fall in to sin, and it's not going to be pretty. So when I view the commands of God as restrictions on my life, guess what? That just shows that I'm losing my first love. I'm drifting from my first love. Number six, giving my testimony. When I want man's approval over God's approval. When I'm living and speaking and singing and serving and doing whatever I do, you know, in my service for the Lord, and I'm now doing it for the applause of men, for the attaboys from men, rather than the approval of God. When that happens, well, guess what? That just shows that your heart has drifted from the Lord. We live for an audience of one. That's the right way to live the Christian life, for an audience of one. And we live for His approval, for His well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, we have a lot of pastors today. They won't touch certain subjects because they don't want to offend people. Well, that's too controversial. Somebody in the crowd will get upset about that. We need to make sure that we're pleasing one. Adrian Rogers said this, I've never forgotten it. He was talking about Enoch. Enoch obtained the testimony before he was taken up to heaven that he pleased God. And Adrian said this, if I don't please God, it doesn't matter whom I please. And if I please God, it doesn't matter whom I displease. My life is on this earth, is given to me to glorify Him and to please Him. Number seven, when I fail to make Christ known for fear of rejection, when I sense that he's putting on my heart, you need to share with this person, but I don't do it because that's, oh Lord, they might not receive that, or maybe they don't like me because of that. Somebody at work that the Lord says, talk to that guy about his soul. Talk to that lady about her soul, and you're afraid that they'll look at you different, and you won't be accepted, and you know you're not going to be in the in crowd, so to speak, at school or in your neighborhood or whatever it might be. So I fail to make Christ known. When somebody's talking about something and a spiritual topic comes up and they don't know you're a Christian, and you know that your viewpoint is going to be different from the crowd, maybe it has to do with transgenderism or homosexuality or some kind of social justice, and you fail to make Christ known because you don't want to stand alone. Guess what? That's a red flag that you're drifting from your first love. Number eight, when I refuse to give up questionable activities. Every one of us needs to have somebody that can look into our lives. They have the green light. They can tell us, hey, you're getting off base with this or that or the other. You're getting too friendly with this person of the opposite sex. You're starting to get flirtatious, perhaps, or you're just letting your guard down. You're not following the Billy Graham rule. You're allowing yourself to ride in the car with a person of the opposite sex who is not your wife or your daughter or your mom or your sister. Hey, just don't do that. And you get upset when they call you on the carpet on that. If you refuse to give up questionable activities, now I'm one of those guys that says, hey, a Christian, you ought not to drink, because that's a questionable activity and there's no upside to that. There's only downside. And, you know, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise, Solomon says in Proverbs. Hey, you know, we all know drunkenness is a sin, but we say, well, we can have a few drinks, that's not bad. But I just want to inform you something that's very, very basic. You will never fall into drunkenness if you stay away from alcohol. You don't need it. The risk reward is not there. The risk is too great. So I would give up that questionable activity. Number nine, when I'm unable to forgive another person who has hurt me, and I understand forgiveness is not easy, and we have to, it's a choice. We have to choose to forgive, and then it's a process. We have to continue to work that out. You know, forgiveness is really like peeling an onion. It kind of comes off in layers. We make the choice, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give this person over to you. As June Hunt says, we take them off our hook and we put them on God's hook. And then we choose to just say, Lord, I deliver that person over to you. And Lord, you allowed this to come into my life, this hurt to come into my life, this person to do what they did in my life for some purpose, for some reason. I believe Romans 8:28 that you're going to work this together for good because I love you. So if you refuse to forgive another person, it could be that you have left your first love. You're not going to be able to walk with God with unforgiveness in your heart. And then number 10, when I become complacent of sin around me. Hey, this is prevalent today as so many of us watch things on television, the foul language that comes, and you just get immune to that because you hear it so much. And you need to say, God, do a work in me. I want to be sensitive to sin around me. I don't want to become complacent regarding that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And anytime you hear the music, you know we're up against a break. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines and take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment on what we're talking about today, beware of losing and leaving your first love, or any other thing that's on your heart, give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Hey, I want to just remind you, we have a trip coming up April 2nd through the 11th, 2027. I'll be leading a trip along with Dr. Chris Schroeder to the Holy Land. We're going to Israel to walk where Jesus walked. And the trip is filling up fast. If you have an interest in going with me, love to have you check it out. You can go to fromhisheart.org, fromhisheart.org, and just click on the link titled Holy Land 2027, and you can get all the particulars where we're going to be and the cost and all those things. And it's going to be a great, great trip. I've been a number of times, and every time is exciting. Going to those different places and just thinking in your mind as we'll read the scripture from those places that is so pertinent. You just think, you know, Jesus was here in the flesh so many years ago, and these things happened. You know, I think the Garden of Gethsemane is one of my favorite places, where he prayed three times, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Caesarea Philippi, way up in the north, such a great place where Jesus asked the question, who do the people say that I am? And then he said to Peter, but who do you say that I am? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the places that we'll go and just being together, it's going to be a great, great time. So go to fromhisheart.org and then click on the link Holy Land 2027 to find out all the particulars. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, I'd love to hear from you. And we have David on the line from Virginia. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I really liked your comment about the alcohol. There is no upside to it. Mm-mm. And, man, I wish that I would have just, like, I don't know, that just is so poignant. All these years, you know, I don't drink anymore, but, you know, being a Christian, you know, always kind of warring with what's too much and, mm-hmm. you know, just the whole thing. Before I called, I Googled, what does the Bible say about being sober-minded? And open Bible info is usually in the search, and it gives you 100 Bible verses how to be sober-minded. And the very first one is to be sober-minded because the devil's, you know, he's going around, and he's, you know, we're already weak. We don't need alcohol to make us even weaker and just be even more, you know, as a target for him. So I just thought that was super awesome. And I know you know that so many people and Christians, they say, well, Jesus, he drank wine, and that's not even in the same realm of what we're talking about, I don't believe. I just like to encourage everybody, there is no upside to drinking alcohol.
No.
You're so right.
Yeah, I appreciate that, David. That is so true. And here's the thing, too, that moms and dads, especially grandfathers, grandmothers, you need to remember, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, they watch you. And, you know, I mean, most parents don't want their kids, especially, you know, I'm 12, 13, 14, I don't want you to be drinking. But, you know, if you're drinking, you're kind of telling them, yeah, it's okay to do this when you get to a certain age, and they're not going to wait for that age. And so, you know, it's just better to say, that stuff is not good. I'm going to stay away from it, because a lot of people can't handle that. And they can't have one beer and just put it down. They have, you know, one beer is never enough, and 10 beers is never too many, or hard liquor or whatever it might be. I still remember James Dobson said about certain sins. He said, you know, as Jesus said to Cain, behold, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, yet you must master it. And there are certain things that if you let into your life, they're going to take over. Gambling can be like that. Pornography, sexual immorality, that can easily be like that. They're just so addictive. You know, it is said of certain drugs, if you take it one time, you're hooked. And so it's just like certain things, don't ever go there. You know, I don't have a problem with smoking, because I never really went there. But I've talked to a lot of people that did go there, and they have a terrible time trying to quit smoking, trying to quit dipping skull or chewing tobacco or whatever it might be. It's like, just like, those are nasty habits. Don't even go there. And, you know, we talk about alcohol being an acquired taste. You know, anytime somebody says, well, that's an acquired taste, that means it doesn't taste good. You have to push it on your body to want that, because your body is naturally recoiling from that. And so just don't go there with alcohol. I think about the testimony of the guy that played in Friends. I mean, he wished he had never been introduced to alcohol, because he was hooked from day one, and it just destroyed his life. Matthew Perry, it destroyed his life. And then alcohol led to prescription drug addiction. I think I heard him say at one time he was taking like 50 hydrocodone a day. I can't imagine anybody functioning doing that, but it's exactly right, David. So it's not worth it. It's just, there's no upside to that. So those things that can be so addictive, stay away from those, and be a good example to your sons and your daughters and your grandsons and your granddaughters and people at church and anybody around you, people at the office. Help them to see that you're following Christ, and the things that would so easily entangle you, you're not playing around with those things. Well, we have Linda on the line, our friend Linda from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, and always blessed by whatever you have to say. But today I was telling her, and you know how God confirms when you're wanting to say something? I turned almost to the scripture. It's in Proverbs 27, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's verse 17. Mm-hmm. Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. And I have four of my friends' names written right next to the scripture. And I think that is something that we need, friends that will speak the truth in love to us. And I'll say to my friends, if I ever say something that, you know, doesn't seem right, what right. The point I'm getting here is we need people in our lives that will be honest with us, and they know that they can say something to us. And so that's what I wanted to call. I just thought that is so important, you know, to have people around us that are willing to speak the truth in love to us and know that, you know, we're going to listen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good, Linda. Yeah, everybody needs that. You need to have people that, and you have to tell them that. Say, hey, you have the green light, because people are hesitant to tell you things if they don't feel like it's going to be well received. So you have a few trusted friends that you say, hey, you have the green light. If you see something in my life that you think is off, something I'm doing that might be, you know, questionable or offensive in some way, tell me so that I can evaluate. And they're not infallible, so you bring that to the Lord. I've had people tell me, you know, you need to tone down your preaching. If you had a guy, a friend of mine from high school, tell me this, you know, if you were more like Joel Osteen in your approach to preaching, you would probably have a bigger audience. And it's like, Joel Osteen is not faithful to preach the word. And so I'm not going to take that advice. And just, you know, basically it was like, if you water down the message, more people will like it. Oh, yeah. Well, Jesus said, you know, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. And so we need to speak the word and let the chips fall where they may and be a faithful witness. We're calling people to repentance and we're calling people to Jesus. And you don't come to Jesus with your sin in tow. You have to turn from sin and turn to him. So I appreciate it, Linda. Thank you for being such an encouragement to me and such a faithful listener. We have Russell on the line from North Carolina. Russell, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. I tell you what, I was excited to hear what you were talking about. I'm sorry you had the technology difficulties earlier, but I tell you, I've heard you listen to your program before, and I tell you what, and the other listeners have mentioned it, what an encouragement. You're definitely doing God's will. I'm going to tell you
Thank you, brother.
Definitely. There's a lot I could say. There's so much that's been said. But what really got me is that the points that you're going down on your list,
mm-hmm.
It came to my mind. I got so excited what you were saying. I was thinking, oh, man, I need to be telling this about other people, you know, and I thought, oh, this is wonderful. And I don't have that list. I was wondering if you would be willing to share your transcript with me, because I was thinking, man, this would be great for me just to have a short presentation at church and say, hey, guess what I heard this week?
Yeah.
And to be able to, as this lady before had said, iron sharpens iron, okay, mm-hmm. as a means of speaking to these folks, you know, because somebody's going to needs to hear it.
Yes. Yes, I can definitely do that, Russell. Are you on the X platform or Facebook or any of that?
What's Facebook? Oh, Facebook. I do have that. I tell you what, I'm not fond of that, tell you the truth, because I just try to pull up your program, and there are other things that show up visually I don't need to be seen.
Okay.
I tell you, I'd rather, if you could, send it to maybe my email or my mailbox out front. That would be better, just because I'm trying to protect my eye gate.
Well, I appreciate that. Do me a favor. So you can reach me, Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org, Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. If you'll email me, I'll email you the list.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Pastor Jeff Shreve.
All right. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. God bless you. We have David on the line from Texas. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
I just had a quick question. Sounds like you were getting some technical difficulties. And,
yes.
I missed item number 6. Could you just repeat it?
And, yes.
And that's all I need to know, and I'll just sign off and keep
okay.
listening. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem. Thanks, David. Yeah, number six on the list of 10 was when I give my testimony or when I share in a Bible study or if I sing, you know, if I'm a singer or something like that, if I secretly long for man's approval rather than God's, and I'm living for the attaboys and, boy, that was so good. That really ministered to me. And rather than to know, you know, I was faithful to share what God wanted me to share, my heart was right, that kind of thing. And so yeah, that deals with motive, you know, why you do what you do. And that can be lots of different things in the Christian life. You know, we can show pastoral care. We can visit somebody in the hospital, or we can visit somebody who's sick at home or whatever. If we're doing it for the praise of men rather than the amen from God, then our heart's not right. And so that would reveal a problem that we're not living, you know, number one, Jesus is not number one. We want somebody else to give us a thumbs up. You know, Jesus said about the Pharisees, when they would give, they would blow a trumpet so that everybody would know, hey, you know, Rabbi so-and-so gave. And Jesus said, well, they have their reward in full. They're not giving for my glory. He said, you know, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you. When they would pray those long prayers to be noticed by men. And that's the attitude there in that number six, when I secretly long for man's approval over God's. It's a big red flag that I've left my first love and I'm forgetting him. We have time for one more, and we have Barbara on the line from Texas. Barbara, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. It's good hearing from you. I have one question in reference to the COVID shots and the DNA tests. I've heard that it could alter the DNA. Have you heard that?
I have heard that. It's hard to know on that what is, you know, really true and what is not. I didn't take the COVID shot. Did you take the COVID shot, Barbara?
No, I did not. And my half sibling, she took the boosters and the shots.
Yeah.
And it came back that we were not half siblings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people that took the COVID shots now wish they hadn't. I don't know anybody who didn't take the shot that said, boy, I'm kicking myself for not taking that shot. I think time has shown, you know, time and truth go hand in hand. Give it enough time and you'll see the truth come out. And people are now seeing that the COVID vaccine wasn't safe and it wasn't effective. And it can be, in many cases, it was deadly. And so it's a terrible, terrible thing. So I'm glad you didn't get it. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I will post this 10 things, 10 warnings on social media. I'll put it on Facebook and I'll put it on the X platform so you can check it out there. Hey, may God bless you today.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.